You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And very pleasant. Good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And last night at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, the Marlins and the Reds were playing game three of their four-game weekday series. Luis Castillo making what many presumed to be his final start for the Cincinnati Reds when opposite of the young Marlins left-hander Braxton Garrett, who was having a wonderful month of July. Well, another tough night at the old yard for the Marlins, who fall to the Cincinnati Reds 5-3 in game three of this four-game weekday set. We will wrap this sucker up at 12:35 tomorrow afternoon, but the Marlins fell behind early in this ballgame tonight. They fell behind 4-0 after the first inning. Those highlights coming away in just a moment. They could not recover. Had a lot of good in this ballgame for the Marlins tonight. I would consider it to be a gutsy performance for Braxton Garrett, who labored through five. Wascar Brazoban was brilliant in two innings, striking out five, allowing just one hit. And Dylan Floro was perfect in the eighth inning. As good as some of the things were in this ballgame tonight, the Marlins ultimately come up too short. And a seventh inning that we'll get to again in just a second, in which they had a golden opportunity to tie this sucker up facing Luis Castillo. Speaking of Luis Castillo, he went opposite of Braxton Garrett in game three tonight. Garrett 2-3 with a 3.42 ERA, a 1.80 ERA in four July starts coming into this ballgame tonight. As for Luis Castillo, he has been subject to so much trade speculation and trade talk. Many around baseball believe that when we saw Luis Castillo take the mound tonight, it would be for the final time as a Cincinnati Red. Castillo breezed through the Marlins 1-2-3 in the first, and he got plenty of run support in the bottom of the first. Jonathan India led off the game with a single. Brandon Drury walked. With runners at first and second base, Jonathan India attempted to steal third base. He was caught stealing. Braxton Garrett had himself an out, but he really started the struggle after the walk to Drury. Tommy Pham singled. Braxton Garrett struck out Joey Votto, but then the floodgate started to open with two on and two out in the first inning, bottom half of the first for Kyle Farmer, the shortstop. 3-2 pitch, wicked line drive down the left field line. This is an extra base hit. It's going to roll all the way to the wall. Scoring from second is Drury. Right behind him is Pham. There won't be a throw. It's a two-out, two-run double for Kyle Farmer. Here at the bottom of the first inning, Luis Castillo now has a 2-0 lead. So Kyle Farmer got the party started in the bottom of the first inning. The next man to bat was Donovan Solano, and he kept it going. 2-0 Cincinnati. Farmer's at second, two outs, bottom one. Here's a swing and a line drive down the left field line. This is going to get down for a base hit. It'll roll all the way to the wall. Back-to-back two-out doubles for the Reds here at the bottom of the first inning. This one scores Farmer from second. It's 3-0 Cincinnati. And then with Solano stationed at second after his RBI double, it was Matt Reynolds' turn to cap off a fun first inning for the Cincinnati Reds. The 1-1 pitch is a ground ball back up the middle. That's a base hit. Donovan Solano can trot home from third. It's 4-0 Cincinnati here in the first. And as brilliant as Braxton Garrett has been in the month of July, it was a struggle here in the first inning tonight. He allowed four runs, five hits, no errors, one man left on base. The 4-0 ball game would hold into the third until Nick Fortes led off the third facing Luis Castillo. Nick Fortes leading off the top of the third. First pitch, 96, that misses. And the next pitch is swung on and hit high in the air, deep to left field. This is way back and gone. Nick Fortes with a big fly here in the third. And for Fortes, it's his fourth home run of the season. The Marlins are on the board. It's 4-1 Cincinnati here in the top of the third inning tonight. But that 4-1 lead wouldn't last long. Bottom three, Tommy Pham singled to lead off the third. Joey Votto was hit by a pitch. And after a strikeout of Kyle Farmer and a flyout by Donovan Solano, Matt Reynolds again an opportunity with two outs to do a little damage for Cincinnati. First pitch to Matt Reynolds is swung on and hit. Right side to his left goes Astudillo, has it, throws the first. It's late. He throws it by Lewin Diaz. One run will score. Going all the way from first to third is Joey Votto. It's 5-1 Cincinnati. Matt Reynolds beat the shift on the play. Astudillo had no business even throwing that ball to first. In the airmail that passed Lewin Diaz, the Reds got another run on two hits. The Marlins commit an error. The Reds leave 2-1 in the bottom of the third. Now, the good news is that the Reds would not score again tonight. The bad news, the Marlins couldn't score enough to catch up. They did get one more back in the top of the fourth inning. Thank you, in large part, to Mr. J.J. Bleday. The 1-1 pitch is hammered deep down the right field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It's a home run. It's number one in the big leagues for J.J. Bleday, leading off the top of the fourth inning off of one of the best starting pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. Congratulations, J.J. Bleday. So Bleday's homer cut the deficit to 5-2 after Bleday. Avi Garcia singled in the fourth, but then Castillo retired Diaz, Astudillo, and Sanchez. The threat was extinguished. The Marlins got a run on two hits. They leave one on in the fourth inning. Then things really started to settle down. Didn't mention Garrett after the first. That's because he was pretty darn good. He did allow the run in the third. He struck out two in a scoreless fourth. He struck out one in a scoreless fifth. Braxton Garrett went five innings in this ballgame tonight, allowed seven hits, five runs all earned, one walk and eight strikeouts. Luis Castillo was cruising for the Cincinnati Reds after the homer to Bleday that he coughed up in the fourth, and the single by Garcia, he started to rock and roll. He retired 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in a row. Nine Marlins in a row after the single by Garcia in the fourth inning. And let's see here. Luis Castillo would carry a 5-2 lead into the seventh. But the Marlins would inch a little closer in Luis Castillo's final inning of work tonight. He walked Lewin Diaz leading off the seventh. Williams Astudillo singled. They were at first and second in the seventh inning with nobody out, trailing by three for Jesus Sanchez. The next pitch is lined over the head of Joey Votto. That's down for a base hit. Lewin Diaz is going to score. On his way to third is Williams Astudillo. It's an RBI double for Jesus Sanchez. It's 5-3 Cincinnati in the seventh, and the Marlins are really putting on a threat. And the threat would go for naught, and it was disappointing because it was the Marlins' best chance offensively in this ballgame tonight. After the RBI double by Sanchez put runners at second and third with nobody out, the tying man was in scoring position. Nick Fortes struck out on a slider. Luke Williams then struck out swinging on a slider. And Luis Castillo had two on, two out, second and third, leading 5-3, and maybe, just maybe, the final man he would ever face in a Cincinnati Reds uniform was Joey Wendell. Here's the pitch. Wendell swings and misses strike three. And if that's it for the two-time All-Star, Luis Castillo in Cincinnati, he goes out with a bang after six seasons as a Cincinnati Red tonight. They come to their feet at Great American Ballpark. That's a great ovation. I think Luis Castillo knows what he's got in store for himself these next 3 to 4 days. He gives a nice big wave to the crowd and a very appreciative crowd here at Great American Ballpark for Luis Castillo this evening. Well, a marvelous performance by Castillo. Maybe not the sharpest he's ever been, but it was for the first time in his career, his fourth consecutive start in which he worked seven innings. And again, if that is how his tenure as a Cincinnati Red ends, he goes out with a bang, striking out Joey Wendell and punching out three in a row and extinguishing a five-alarm fire in the seventh inning for the Cincinnati Reds. The Marlins got one in the seventh. Oscar Brazoban pitched a perfect sixth and seventh inning. Well, he did allow one hit, but for all intents and purposes, it was a perfect sixth and seventh inning. Multiple innings of work for Oscar Brazoban. Dylan Floro got the eighth. He struck out a pair. We went to the ninth. It was 5-3 here at Great American Ballpark tonight. Hunter Strickland came on for the Cincinnati Reds. By the way, Alexis Diaz, the younger brother of Edwin Diaz, worked a perfect, quite literally a quite perfect eighth inning for Cincinnati. But Hunter Strickland got the ball in the ninth inning, immediately served up an opposite field hard hit single to Lewin Diaz. But after a fly out to right field by Williams Astudillo, Diaz was sitting at first base with one out. In the top of the ninth inning, the batter was Jesus Sanchez. Tying run is at the plate for the Marlins. With one out in the top of the ninth inning, they trail 5-3. Reds trying to lock down one more win for Luis Castillo. 2-2. Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball hit to first. Votto has it to second for one to first two and a double play, and the ball game is over. Reds win it. Castillo wins it. Cincinnati 5, Miami 3. So the Reds have taken two of the first three in this four-game series this week. Totals and the box score from this ball game tonight for the Marlins, 3 runs, 7 hits, an error, 4 men left on base. For the Cincinnati Reds, 5 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They leave 4 on base. Luis Castillo, and presumably his final start as a Cincinnati Red, works 7 innings of 3-run ball. He improves to 4-4 on the season. As for Braxton Garrett, his 5th start in what's been a wonderful month of July, a bit sour tonight. He falls to 2-4 on the year. Hunter Strickland, who had a hefty ERA north of 5, does collect his 6th save of the season in a 1-2-3 top of the ninth inning for the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Started this ball game at 6:42, finished it at 9:14. Total game time, 2 hours and 32 minutes in front of 11,387 strong at Great American Ballpark tonight. With the loss, the Marlins fall back now to 46-52. And with the win, the Cincinnati Reds improve to 38-59. So the Reds beat the Marlins 5-3 in game 3 of this 4-game set last night. Before we hear from Don Mattingly post-game, let's step aside for a quick commercial break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back with you on Marlins Rewind. That was a tough night at the ballpark for the Marlins last night. 5-3, the final score in favor of Cincinnati. Let's hear from Marlins manager Don Mattingly afterwards.
First inning for Braxton, but it looked like after that really kind of settled down and was able to find a little bit of a rhythm. Did you feel like this one was kind of one where he battled through that first to give you at least a little bit of a better start?
No, definitely. Brax hung in there and competed. After the first couple innings, or I don't know if it was the second one, he was good, and they got another run in there on that kind of ball he hit in the hole. But yeah, I felt like he did a nice job of hanging in there, giving us a chance to get back in the game.
I think he was at 86 pitches when he came out. Was it more just because that first inning was so taxing that you felt like after 5 that was a good place to go ahead and get him out?
Yeah, I mean, he had battled all day. He mm-hmm. got us there. You know, we were surprised he got really through that. He did kind of get on a little bit of roll there those last couple innings. But there's, again, we've talked about Brax in the past. There's no reason for us to push him in a game we're down. I don't know if it's 3 or 4 when he came out, because we're going to have to watch him all year long, and this is part of it.
Top of the 7th, you get 3 straight guys on, have the game-tying runs at 2nd and 3rd, and then 3 straight strikeouts just having the missed opportunity where you guys could have gotten a lot going there.
Yeah, I like where we were at there. You know, all of a sudden we got something going, and their guy just bared down. You know, I know he's a talk of this, trade deadline market as part of it. But, you know, you've seen why. I thought right there you could see him. He really bared down and went to another level to get those strikeouts.
Talked a bit about JJ before the game, just, you know, his first turnaround, but just what, you know, very small sample size, but what has impressed you most? Maybe about his, you know, approach?
I think just JJ is really what you expected. He's going to do the right things on the field. The at-bats don't seem like they're too much. He's going to get his share of lumps. You know, we kind of got him in a spot that he probably shouldn't be in right now, but that's okay. He's handling those at-bats like you would anywhere else in the order. So I think just to the demeanor and the handling of the at-bats and the way they look, you know. So he's getting himself pitches to hit. He's going to see a lot of good stuff. So you know, just let him go.
Is that something you see as it being sustainable for him to be successful, is the ability to get pitches to hit or to,
absolutely, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, game planning at some point becomes the biggest thing here. If guy doesn't understand who he is, what he handles, what the other guy can do, he's in general not going to hit. So I don't care how talented they are. Once they if they show they don't understand game planning, they're going to get carved up over the course of the season. But if you can do that, there's still going to be guys that are bad matchups for you that get the ball to spots that maybe you don't handle. But if you understand where those spots are, then you're not chasing there and trying to hit them. It's just very important that that you can handle an at-bat and know how to structure it at this level.
Brazoban, two scoreless innings, five Ks. That coupled with Wade on Sunday, just what's impressed you with those?
No, he's been good. He was good in spring, we thought. We liked his stuff. You know, the times that we've been able to take, the times that he was up on the taxi and Mills kind of, you know, getting him to get to his slider. His changeup's always been his pitch. But those days on the taxi when he comes and we know he's not pitching, he's able to throw some pins. And I know Mel was working on a slider almost every time he was here. That becomes another pitch for him. But, I mean, this cat's 96 to 98. He can two-seam it. He can four it. He's got a really good changeup, and the slider's coming. So, you know, this guy's he's got stuff, and he's got a chance to pitch, you know, and be successful when you have those weapons.
Danny, I think it was in the third, the throw by Astudillo, the first that ends up allowing Bobby to get to third. Luckily, it doesn't end up hurting you, but in that situation, would you prefer he hang on to the ball, or do you see it more as it's a guy trying
pretty
to make
much.
A play?
You're trying to make a play, but it's like you don't want to throw, you don't want to make plays that you don't really have a chance. That's one of those you hope he eats it. But again, he's trying to make a play, so you never fault a guy for trying to get it out. But, you know, it's just, you know, unfortunate in that spot. He hits a ball in the hole. You know, where nobody's playing against the shift. Mm-hmm. So I prefer him to eat it, but I can't ever fault guys for trying to make plays.
Floro has been looking for maybe more of a defined role recently. You know, how important was him coming back into his groove tonight?
Coming back into tonight? He's been in a groove for a while, and his role's been pretty defined. Did he tell you that he didn't like his role? No. I'm just messing with him. He's been solid. You know, he started off the year, you know, obviously hurt, and we had to kind of get him built up, and it took him a little bit even when he was here to get his velo back. He's worked really hard to get definite with his stuff, but he's been on a pretty good roll here for a while and throwing the ball good.
Do you have a starter for tomorrow yet, or do you still need to make some moves before that?
We need to make some moves.
Okay.
So that was Marlins manager Don Mattingly after the Marlins 5-3 loss to the Cincinnati Reds in Game 3 last night. Game 4 of this series comes your way at 12:35 afternoon. Graham Ashcraft, rookie right-hander on the mound for the Cincinnati Reds. Don Mattingly saying post-game, and you heard it, that the Marlins need to make moves, so it is to be determined who takes the ball for the Marlins today. Now, whomever it is that does take the ball will get underway at 12:35, which means we will hit the air at 12 o'clock with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.